It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Everybody to stop what they're doing. It's a thrill ride. If you know you're with somebody that you're going to take to the hotel room tonight, make some noise.
And a very good Sunday morning out there to all of our wonderful listeners. I hope you're ready to hear a good amount of Pitbull on today's show, because if you're around the Capital Region, you know what's going on. You know who's going to be at SPAC tonight. I will be there, because Mr. 305, Pitbull, will be performing. And of course, how could I miss that? One of the, you know, premier artists that I would say I was able to grow up listening to. Absolute bangers like Hotel Room Service, Fireball, give me everything. Some great songs that I'm hoping to hear tonight, as I will be up at SPAC. So hey, if you see me, be sure to stop by, say hi, say you were tuned into the show this morning, and if you are there, be responsible, have a great time, and I'm excited. You know, I'm very excited. I've been waiting for this concert for weeks now. Cannot wait to get to SPAC. I mean, I haven't been to SPAC much this summer, not many concerts that I've been able to get to, so cannot wait for this, and it should be a good night. Welcome to the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks. Thanks for tuning in, everybody out there. It's been a busy week around the station, around the world of sports, busy weekend. Just yesterday, I was over at Waterford Half Moon High School for my first time working their scoreboard and doing the announcing for their varsity soccer teams. So if you're around the area and you see that Waterford Half Moon boys and girls varsity soccer, if they got a home game, why don't you pop out? Go support the 40ins. Wave hi to the press box. You know, tell them that I sent you from the Hot Seat, Vinny Fredericks. And, have a great time, because it's a beautiful field they got over there. Just redone last year. Brand new turf. They got a great soccer program at Waterford Half Moon. And it's just all around a good time. So be sure to check that out. And again, thank you for tuning in. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, a little chilly out. It's we're starting to get to that real fall weather where, you know, you can no longer just wake up and go outside in a t-shirt and shorts. It's sweatpants season. Sweatpants, crew necks, hoodies, all of that, which I got to say I'm excited for, because you know that means one thing. That means football is back. And with football being back, why am I not surprised to see that we have already gotten breaking news from Adam Schefter? We'll lead with this. Adam Schefter just tweeted a moment ago, Tyreek Hill was detained by police en route to the Miami Dolphins week one matchup. And what I'm hearing is that Tyreek Hill is still going to play against the Jaguars today in Miami. Hill was detained for some sort of driving violation. This is all happening just a few months after the same thing happened to Scottie Scheffler at the PGA Championship, and he would go on to still play and make his tee time. So Tyreek Hill already getting in the news for whatever he might have done. There's videos out all across social media, different angles of Tyreek Hill detained by police. But according to his agent, he is going to play. Drew Rosenhaus said there's, you know, nothing to worry about as far as today's game goes. He will be suited up and he will be playing. But What else are we surprised? You know, what else do we expect when football season is coming back? There's always going to be some crazy headlines out there. Always going to be something random going on that'll kind of distract you from the fact that they are indeed playing football today. And we got a great lineup of games coming up today. We'll dive into that in a little bit. You know how we do it here on the Hot Seat. We always start with MLB baseball. So we'll go around the league with your local teams of interest, Yankees, Red Sox, Mets, let you know how they've been performing this past week. Let you know, are they in good playoff shape? Well, we're getting to that nitty gritty part of the MLB regular season. Only about a month or so left. So we'll see if any of our regional teams are going to be playing come October. Obviously, we'll get to the NFL football matchups, the hottest headlines of the week, as we always do. Maybe talk a little fantasy football as it's week one. I'm coming for a championship this year. I refuse to lose to Michael Johnson Jr. again in the championship. He never fails to mention whenever we're on, whether it's Big Board or whether we're on wherever, he never fails to mention that he did indeed beat me in the championship last year. But it's okay. It's okay. I like my squad this season, and I'll be back. So we'll dive into that a little bit later on in the show. Before we hop into the MLB Round the Diamond recap, UAlbany Great Danes did indeed play last night. Traveled out to West Virginia. That's why if you were tuned in this past Friday morning, me and my guy Joey Polotsky were on Big Board Sports for Roger and MJ as they were traveling with the team out to West Virginia. Be sure to tune in throughout the week to Big Board Sports, hear what they have to say about the game, and Thursday and Friday, it'll be the same thing. Me and my guy Joey Polotsky filling in for Roger and MJ while they're traveling with the team, and it should be a couple of great shows because we always have a good time. We always try to make it a nice, enjoyable listen. And how can you miss that? You know, how could you ever miss that? So we'll dive into this game from last night with the UAlbany Great Danes. Let's just be upfront here. The UAlbany Great Danes were not expected to win this game. I think 36 point underdogs was the line, 36 and a half. They end up losing by 35. And the score, yes, they did lose 49-14. But this game was actually a little tight in the first half. Maybe not right away. UAlbany started the game down 21-0 after giving up three straight scores. Then they give themselves a good drive, get down the field, score a quick rushing touchdown with Griffin Waddell, turn around, get the ball back after forcing a fumble on what was going to be a 30, 40-something yard run by West Virginia, and then all of a sudden the ball pops loose. UAlbany recovers. They drive down the field, get a nice toss from Miles Burkett, who has been a pretty solid starting quarterback so far, trying to take the place of Reese Poffenbarger, who transferred to Miami. He had a couple great balls, one of which got them in the end zone for a touchdown. They're down 21-14 right before halftime. They get the ball to start the second half, so all they got to do with about 2 minutes left is stop West Virginia, and they might have a shot at actually tying this game up to begin the second half. But West Virginia would drive right down the field, score a quick touchdown. UAlbany goes into the halftime break, down two scores, and they had another chance in that third quarter to get themselves back in the game. They drive all the way down the field, get to the one-two-yard line, fourth and goal, try a couple passing plays, can't seem to get it to you know, work out, and then they turn over on downs. Fourth and goal. You know, those are the plays where they're real momentum shifting plays. If you score, you're only down a touchdown, one quick stop, and you're right back in this game if you score. Instead, West Virginia would take advantage, drive 99 yards down the field for an easy touchdown. And from there, it was all West Virginia for the entire rest of the way. But UAlbany still had a decent showing. Gattuso would go on to say that they show their inexperience on defense. But you got to remember, this is not a game that the Great Danes were expected to win. This is FCS versus FBS, you know, teams. This is not a game that UAlbany was going to go in and dominate. But they had a couple competitive moments, and I think that's the silver lining here that you got to look at as a UAlbany Great Danes fan. They were in this game for some brief moments, and they had a chance to really make a difference. A couple plays just didn't go their way. So the Great Danes, they will be back at it next week. They will be on the road at Idaho as in what should be another great matchup, 1-1 on the season so far after beating Long Island University in week one. As MJ would like to say, go Great Danes!
Go Great Danes!
All right, we'll move on over to the MLB Round the Diamond recap here as all of our regional teams of interest are in pretty tight spots right now, fighting for playoff spots. The New York Yankees having a bit of an up and down week. They were losers of three straight series going back to the end of August. You know, you lose to Washington, St. Louis, and Texas. Finally, they've gotten themselves a series win as they've already won games 1 and 2 against the Chicago Cubs in Wrigley. A couple of great pitching performances. Luis Gil went out through a shutout, 6 strong innings. Then they win yesterday 2-0 behind Clark Schmidt, who has returned from injury. He went a few good innings. Nestor Cortez came in to replace him, went another, you know, 4 or 5 innings. And from there, that's all it was. You know, Yankees win that one 2-0, win the first game 3-0. So there's some good and some bad because, yes, the pitching was immaculate the last two games. You'll take back-to-back shutouts any day of the week. But the offense has not been producing the same way we saw in the earlier part of the second half of the season. Judge and Soto have been in a little bit of a slump. You have your lineup at practically full strength. Rizzo is back. Wells is still producing pretty well. Gleyber has kind of solidified himself as your leadoff batter. Jazz Chisholm has been one of the best trade deadline acquisitions across the league. And yet you're still only able to muster 3-2 runs against the Chicago Cubs. They had some good offensive performances in their previous series, like 6 runs against the Rangers. But in that game, Stroman had an awful start and they end up giving up 10. Against St. Louis, they score 7, but they end up losing that game 14-7. So things just aren't clicking. When they have good pitching, the offense hasn't been producing runs like they can. When the pitching, you know, gives them a deep hole to climb out of and they got to really produce some runs to get back in the game, the bullpen falls apart on them. So it's one of those situations where when all things click together, this Yankees team can dominate and make a deep run in the playoffs. But will that happen? Right now, it doesn't seem like it. But there is some good in all this. You want your stars to be slumping at this point in the season. And you never want that. But if they're going to slump, you want it to be right before the playoffs so they can get hot come playoff time. You don't want them to get all their good swings out now. Because if they start slumping come October, then the Yankee season is over. If Judge and Soto can't hit the same way they have been all year come playoff time, call it a wrap. Season is done. Doesn't matter how great you pitch, how good all the other hitters do. You need your two-headed monster to produce in the playoffs. So we'll see. New York Yankees fighting with the Baltimore Orioles for the first place in the American League East. Right now, they hold first place by half a game. And with the second to last series for both these teams being against each other, that is probably going to be the decider. Whoever wins that series late in the season is going to be the team that wins the AL East division. Now, speaking of the AL East, our Boston Red Sox have been, well, for lack of a better term, they've fallen off a cliff throughout this second half of the season. They were real hot going into the second half of the season, fought their way from right around a 500 team. They were 10 games above 500 at one point. Now they've been unable to really get the ball rolling. They're back to what they were doing earlier this season. Lose a couple, win a couple, lose 3, win 2. They're sticking right around that 500 mark. They're 72-70. And you look at their recent games over the past week, they lost 5 straight going into this series against the Chicago White Sox. And thank goodness they played the Chicago White Sox, because if they were playing any competent baseball team, they probably would have lost a game or two here. They get swept by the New York Mets, who we'll touch on in just a second. They lose to the Detroit Tigers in that series. And the Red Sox just haven't been the same team that they were when they were winning baseball games. The pitching is kind of starting to get fatigued. The offense is, it's okay, but you look at these scores throughout the Tigers and the Mets series, 1 run scored in 3 straight games, 2 runs scored, then another 3. They're getting a couple runs here and there, but they're not producing the way that, you know, a lineup with that talent, Rafael Devers, Masataka Yoshida, a couple young players like Willier Abreu, Sedan Rafael, who've been bright spots this season. You'd think that they would be getting more than just 1, 2, or 3 runs a game, but they've been unable to. In this White Sox series, they have been better, winning game 1, 3-1. Game 2, they won 7-5. And game 3, coming up in just a couple short hours here at 1:35. Still no announcement on who the starting pitcher is going to be for the Red Sox, but it will be Chris Flexen for the White Sox. And actually, it will be Richard Fitz on the mound for the Boston Red Sox, making his debut as a starter this season. So the Red Sox, the road isn't getting any easier. After this White Sox series, they have to play Baltimore at home, who's automatically a tough matchup. Then you got to go to Yankee Stadium for a 4-game series. And the last few series of the season, you know, it's a lot of AL East rivals. 2 against the Rays, 1 against the Blue Jays. And then you got the Minnesota Twins, too. And we keep talking about these late season series that are going to be defining series for these teams when they're trying to make playoffs or trying to make a certain spot. Yankees have the Orioles second to last series of the season. The Red Sox have the Minnesota Twins in their third to last series of this regular season. And if you look at the wild card standings, they're currently 4 games back from those Minnesota Twins for the last wild card spot in the American League. So if they win a game here and there against Baltimore and New York, go into that Twin series down right around 3 or 4 games. If they win that series, they are right back in that race for the last wild card spot. And at that point, you never know what can happen. So the Red Sox still got a fighting chance. but they need to start winning these big games. You need to win a couple against Baltimore and New York. You got to win these series against the Rays and Toronto. And Minnesota is a must win. That's practically a playoff series for them, because you will not get a better opportunity to chase the team that's ahead of you in the wild card standings unless you beat them. You win that, if they sweep that series, they're right back in that playoff spot with a good chance of making it to October. And speaking of teams with good chances of making it to October, the New York Mets have been playing some of the best baseball across the league over the last week or so. Winners of 9 straight games. They've won 9 straight, 10 of their last 12. And you look at their second half of the season here, it's just win after win after win. They have been, for lack of a better term, they've been on fire. They've been hot. And right now, they're in prime position. They finally have made it back to the wild card spot. They're one game ahead of the Atlanta Braves. And all they got to do is ride the coast here. Because you look at their upcoming schedule, there's some tough matchups. You got the Phillies in 2 different series, so you got to win some of those. Washington should be a good one. They're currently up 2-0 in the series against the Cincinnati Reds. 140 first pitch for that game 3. It's Severino on the mound for the Mets, going up against Julian Aguirre for the Reds. And the New York Mets, again, all 3 of these teams, the Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, they all have a big series around the end of the season that they need to capitalize on. I mentioned Yankees have the Orioles, second to last series. Red Sox have the Twins in their third to last series. Who do the Mets play in their second to last series of this season? The Atlanta Braves, who they're currently one game ahead of in the wild card spot. So all 3 of these teams need to capitalize on these opportunities to really give themselves a bit of separation from the teams that they're competing with, whether it be to win the division, make the wild card. These are the moments where they got to step it up and they got to be able to produce, because you're not going to get a better opportunity than that. Speaking of opportunities, it is finally the right opportunity to mention NFL football. That is next, as we'll dive into the week 1 matchups, and I'll give you my my predictions on who I think is going to win and where we're going to see the best games across the NFL in week 1. Stay with us. More of the Hot Seat coming up next with Vinny Fredericks, 104.5 The Team, the free 104.5 The Team app. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from The Hot Seat, letting you know that you can listen live well before these podcast episodes are posted. Join me live every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon Eastern time, where we can go back and forth on the hottest takes, hottest topics, and the hottest headlines across the world of sports. All you have to do, download the free 104.5 The Team app. That's 104.5 The Team. Download today for more of The Hot Seat live every Sunday morning.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Mr. Worldwide to infinity, you know the roof on fire. We gon' boogie, hoogie, hoogie, jiggle, wiggle, and dance like the roof on fire. We gon' drink drinks and take shots until we fall out like the roof on fire. Now, baby, get my booty naked, take off all your clothes and light the roof on fire. Tell her, baby.
I wasn't kidding when I said we were going to be playing Pitbull every segment on today's Hot Seat episode. Welcome back to the Hot Seat, by the way, with your host, Vinny Fredericks. We got a little bit of more breaking news here. I don't know what it is about this first Sunday of NFL football, but we started with Tyreek Hill being detained on his way to the stadium for the Miami Dolphins week 1 matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And now, breaking from Adam Schefter quite literally 1 minute ago, hours before Dallas kicked off its season, it has reached an agreement with quarterback Dak Prescott on a 4-year, $240 million extension that will make him the highest paid player in NFL history and keeps him in a Cowboys uniform for seasons to come.
Yeah! Here we go!
Yeah, here we go. I gotta say, if you know me, you know I'm a big Cowboys fan. I currently got my Micah Parsons jersey on, you know, just to celebrate. It's week 1 in the NFL season, hoping for a victory today. But this is great news. They got the CeeDee Lamb deal done. They got the Dak Prescott deal done. Now it's Micah Parsons' turn, because at some point he needs this big extension that he very so clearly deserves. And normally I'd say I'm not very confident in Jerry Jones to get the job done, because he always seems to have some sort of way of screwing everything up. But he was able to work it out with CeeDee. He's now worked it out with Dak, and there's been a lot of stuff going around the media, you know, of Jerry Jones saying, well, if you haven't seen the deal, it's because there's no deal. And Dak saying, you know, I stopped listening to what Jerry Jones says to the media a long time ago. But regardless, the job has been done, and Dak Prescott has earned himself a new extension with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes! Here we go!
And as a Cowboys fan, I am excited for that because the quarterbacks are not very easy to come by in this NFL, you know, era. It's hard to find a consistent starting quarterback. Just ask franchises who are currently looking for that franchise quarterback. The Bears just finally found theirs, and hopefully in Caleb Williams after who knows how long and how many quarterbacks. The Cleveland Browns have been struggling. They finally got somewhat of a guy in Deshaun Watson. You have teams like the Titans and the Saints, and you know the Falcons finally got theirs, and Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. Last year was an explicitly heavy quarterback draft, I'd say, as far as potential franchise quarterbacks out there. You got Caleb, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, like I mentioned, Bo Nix. So there was plenty of options for you to go with quarterback last season in the draft. That isn't every year. I mean, right now, the best quarterbacks in college football are supposedly Shedeur Sanders, who just got smoked by the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Dylan Raiola for the Cornhuskers has been putting himself up there as one of the better quarterbacks in college football with his Patrick Mahomes cosplay. But then you got guys like Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck. There's a lot of good quarterbacks out there, but will they be able to transcend to the next level? We are not sure. So why take that gamble? Get your guy, commit to your quarterback, and I love it from the Cowboys. I think it's a great deal. Now is the time to actually go out and prove that you can do it aside from in the regular season. Can you make it to the playoffs, and can you win in the playoffs? That is the question. But we'll go through all the matchups for week one right here, as we'll get ourselves a little bit of theme music, as it is NFL season. It's only right that we get a little bit of NFL bed music just to get us through this segment. There's already been a couple of games so far this week. Obviously, Thursday night, Ravens and Chiefs kicked it off. That was an exhilarating game. And I was saying this Friday on Big Board Sports with Joey Pulaski and myself. I know I'm getting up there in age when it's Thursday night football or Sunday night, whatever night of football it is. And I have work the next morning and I'm sitting there. It's 11:30 at night, fourth quarter. This was a very great game. Chiefs up by a touchdown, up 10 in the fourth. Ravens able to drive down the field, get a field goal, bring it to within seven, get the ball back, drive all the way down the field. They got a couple shots at the end zone before time expires. And I'm sitting there. I have Lamar Jackson on my fantasy team as well, and Derrick Henry. So I'm sitting there hoping, oh, another Lamar touchdown would be big for me. But on the other hand, I'm laying in bed like, man, I am exhausted. I'm ready to go to bed. Can we please just get this game over with? Because a Ravens touchdown in overtime means, all right, now I got to stay up another, what, half an hour at least? And I'm already tired. I already got to get up in the morning. I'm not 21 anymore. I'm 23. I can't handle like that anymore. I can't hang in the late hours of the night like I used to. It's not college anymore. But alas, that was not the case, as Isaiah Likely, just by a toenail, is out of bounds on what would have been the game-tying touchdown as time expired. And the Baltimore Ravens would fall to the Kansas City Chiefs 27-20. And there are some takeaways. You know, Lamar Jackson had Zay Flowers wide open the play before that Likely incompletion that would have easily tied the game if he just made the throw, but he missed him by a good few feet. There are some things to worry about if you're, you know, a Ravens fan, because the offense was somewhat inconsistent. Lamar had to make a lot of things happen just by being able to improvise and think on his feet. But I would say this is just a great matchup of two great teams. Yes, you can worry and be upset that you weren't able to beat them in week one, but this Chiefs team you're playing in week one is not going to be the same Chiefs team that you're playing in the AFC Championship later on this season, which is exactly what I expect for these two teams. So I wouldn't harp on this game too much if you're a Ravens fan. They still played great. They were still in a position to win and go to overtime and potentially win. And the Chiefs, again, you know that this Chiefs team is going to be good. the wide receiver core has looked ridiculous. I mean, how did every other team in the NFL allow Patrick Mahomes to get Xavier Worthy on his team? Well, Patrick Mahomes just lost Tyreek Hill a few seasons ago. What are they going to do? Replace him with the next fastest receiver in the league. Ran a 4-2-1 40-yard dash, and now he's already got two touchdowns in his NFL debut with the Kansas City Chiefs. So this Chiefs offense, like always, going to be scary, but we'll see if they can keep this high-powered offense consistent as the year goes on. The very next night, Friday, the Eagles took on the Green Bay Packers in Sao Paulo, Brazil, in what was another tight matchup. The Eagles would take that victory 34-29 in another tight one. Saquon Barkley finished the game with three total touchdowns in his Eagles debut. Jordan Love for the Packers, unfortunately, on the second to last play of the game, would go down with what looked like a knee injury. And right now, the optimism is that he could be back within the next 4 to 6 weeks. So it's not season ending, which is great news for Packers fans. But you look ahead at this lineup, and let's just say, for example, Green Bay misses the net, or Jordan Love, I should say, misses the next 5 or 6 games. There's a couple winnable games within these first 6 or 7 of the season, but you got to capitalize. I mean, Malik Willis is your quarterback right now, and if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I'm calling every free agent quarterback, any team that has multiple backups, maybe like the Dallas Cowboys and Trey Lance, I'm calling any team that I can think of to try to make some sort of deal happen to get myself a new starting quarterback. Because yes, you might be able to beat some of these teams. The Colts is going to be a tough matchup. Not sure if I would see them beating the Colts with Malik Willis at quarterback. The Titans, okay, that one could be a victory. The Vikings, they also have an injured quarterback. They're working with Sam Darnold right now, so I can see the Packers winning that one. The Rams, you're probably not going to beat with Malik Willis at QB. The Cardinals, we don't know how this Cardinals team is going to be, especially with Marvin Harrison Jr. now on the squad, Kyler Murray back for another season. This offense could be pretty good in Arizona. So that's another coin flip game. And then you got Houston in week 7. So if Jordan Love is to miss the next 6 games, I say you're losing to Houston. You're probably losing to the Rams. You might lose a game to the Colts and to the Cardinals. And now you're looking at, even when he comes back for week 8 against the Jaguars, you're looking at maybe a 3-4, 2-5 start to the season, which, granted, the Packers did start last season pretty slow too and were able to get hot at the right time, make the playoffs, but it's a tall task for the Green Bay Packers. But you know what? For the Packers fans out there, I wouldn't worry about it too much, because they do have the second youngest roster in the entire NFL. So this team has years to build what could be a potential Super Bowl winning roster. They have plenty of time in all of these players' careers before, you know, this window of opportunity is going to run out. So if this Jordan Love injury derails their season, it's not the end of the world, because they'll be back next season. They'll be back the year after that. They're going to be around for years to come as a competitive football team in the NFC. Looking at today's matchups, the 1 o'clock games, we'll rattle through these quick. I'll tell you who I think is going to win, who's going to lose. Starting with Steelers-Falcons, this is a coin flip. Both teams, completely new lineups. You got new starting quarterbacks for each team. I'm going to go, this is a real tough one. I'm going to go Steelers just because Mike Tomlin's the better coach. They have the better defense, and they have the more, I can't say more experienced quarterback, because Kirk Cousins is a very experienced, very good quarterback, but he is coming off of a torn Achilles last season. You don't know what kind of shape that leg is going to be in. So I'm going Steelers to win in this first 1 o'clock matchup. Cardinals and Bills, which you'll be able to listen to as my guy Joey Polotsky is in the building right now on the ones and twos, as on our other station, 103.9 The Breeze. Bills pregame show has already started. So when this show is over, flip your dial, tune in to 103.9 The Breeze, as the Bills game will be there. And we'll have Bills games all season long there and on 104.5 The Team for you to tune into. I'm going Bills in this one. Josh Allen is going to get it done. I know it's a completely new offense for the Bills. You don't know who that wide receiver one is going to be, but I see the Bills still being able to pull this one out. Titans and Bears in Chicago. Caleb Williams' debut I'm going Chicago in this one. The Titans don't impress me too much with the roster they have out there. And Caleb Williams at home, no rookie quarterback taken number one overall since 2002, I believe, when Davis Carr did it. No starting quarterback drafted number one overall has ever won their debut. Caleb Williams might break a 20-year streak here with a win today. I think he will. Patriots, Bengals. Yeah, Bengals. We don't have to talk much about that. Patriots, just start Drake May already. Get him some reps. There's no reason for him not to start. You're not going to win anything this season, so you might as well see what you got in your quarterback you just drafted number three overall. Texans and Colts. I'm going to go Houston in this one. Love the Houston Texans lineup. Love what CJ Stroud brings at quarterback. Also love Anthony Richardson for the Colts, former Florida Gator. But I just think the Texans have the more talented team. We're going to see what Stephon Diggs looks like in this offense. I think it's going to be a competitive one in Indianapolis, but I'm still going to go Houston to win on the road here. Jaguars and Dolphins, I'm going to go Miami here. Going to be another tough matchup, but this Dolphins offense is just too overpowered, way too much to work around, too much to deal with. So I'm going to go Miami to take down the Jaguars at home. Saints and Panthers, this is another real toss-up because both teams are not super talented. Panthers were one of the worst teams they were the worst team in the NFL last season. Saints, not that much better. Is Bryce Young going to have a real bounce-back season? I really just don't know. This Panthers team is just not very talented around Bryce Young. So I'm going to go Saints. I think they get it done. Derek Carr, quarterback, still has some experience. Alvin Kamara, plenty of weapons. I'm going to go Saints in this one. Vikings-Giants, another real toss-up game because both teams, not great expectations. I mean, the Giants are not going to be one of the best teams in the league this year. We know that. The Vikings just lost J.J. McCarthy for the season, so they're starting Sam Darnold at quarterback. For the New York Giants, I think you got to win this one because this is the only game throughout the entire season, potentially, aside from maybe Washington and Carolina. This is the only game where you can go into saying, okay, we for sure have the better quarterback. Daniel Jones is better than Sam Darnold, so you got to take advantage here. Minnesota might have the better wide receiver in Justin Jefferson, but if you can get Malik Nabers going, I think he can make this game competitive. And like I said, this is the only game besides maybe a few others throughout the entire season where you can go into it and confidently say, we have the better quarterback. We have a good chance of winning this game at home as well in MetLife. I'm going to go Giants to win this one against the Vikings and start the season 1-0. Moving on to the 4 o'clock games, Raiders and Chargers. I'm going to go Chargers here. Raiders, kind of a head scratcher last season, had a whole bunch of drama going on. New head coach. I think they'll be better than they were last year, but they're still missing a quarterback. Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell is not your answer. Justin Herbert is the answer for the Chargers. I'm going Chargers in this one. Broncos and Seahawks. Broncos, again, new team. Bo Nix, rookie quarterback. We'll see what he has up his sleeve, but I'm still going to go Seahawks here. Just have the better all-around team, a more experienced quarterback, and I don't see the Broncos winning this early on in the season. Cowboys and Browns. Is there any question? We know who I'm going with.
Yeah! Here we go!
Go Cowboys, baby, to 100%. I'll put it down as a lock. Maybe a little bit biased, but I'm putting it down as a lock. Cowboys get the win over the Browns in Cleveland. It's going to be a tough matchup. It is going to be a tight one, but I'm going Cowboys, baby. You know I gotta go with my home team. Come on now. 425 Commanders against the Buccaneers. Jaden Daniels making his debut. Tampa Bay did surprise some people last year with Baker Mayfield. He had a bit of a bounce back season, and I think he's going to start the season off pretty good tonight as well. I'm taking Buccaneers over the Washington Commanders at 425. In the late game, the LA Rams against the Detroit Lions. This one is going to be a great matchup. I see why they put it in primetime. I'm going Detroit Lions because I think they're one of the best teams in the NFC. They showed it last year, almost made it to the Super Bowl. This is not the Lions team that your dad grew up watching. This is a brand new Lions roster, brand new coaching scheme that they're bringing back from last year. I see the Lions winning this one. The Rams are good. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Matt Stafford, they're a great offensive unit. but I think the Lions are going to go to work and get the victory at home in Detroit. Tomorrow, it's the Jets against the 49ers. This is an interesting one because Aaron Rodgers is back and healthy, and he completely changes the outlook of this New York Jets team. But the San Francisco 49ers have by far the most talented roster across the NFL. So I'm picking San Fran to start their season off 1-0. We'll recap all these games next week on the Hot Seat, let you know how we did with our picks and who's you know, the best teams after week one of the NFL regular season. Coming up next, we'll dive into the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond, like we always do here on the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, 104.5 The Team, the free 104.5 The Team app. Stay with us. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat. To stay up to date with when episodes are going to be posted or airing live every Sunday morning at 11, be sure to check out at VFredsMedia on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That's VFREDDS Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where we'll have clips, updates, and more for you. Up next, more of the Hot Seat.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Ask for money and get advice. Ask for advice, get money twice. I'm from the dirty, but that Chico nice. Y'all call it a moment, I call it life.
We are back here on the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, on this fine Sunday morning. Thank you to everybody out there for tuning in. I don't know what it is about this first Sunday of NFL football, but the news keeps on flying in. We talked at the very start of the show, right before the show started. It broke from Adam Schefter, Tyreek Hill detained by police on his way to the Dolphins game against the Jaguars. Then we go to a break, come back, and not even a minute before we come back from that break, Dak Prescott gets his extension with the Dallas Cowboys. We do our NFL segment. We go to the next break. And what just got announced, but that Kendrick Lamar will be headlining this year's Super Bowl halftime show. In what has already been a insane year for him as an artist, Kendrick Lamar is now going to be doing the Super Bowl halftime show. And I see all my boys in the group chat are talking about it. They're like, this is for the boys. You know, this is one of those halftime performances they did for us. And I'm sure it's going to be a great, great halftime show. Kendrick, one of the, you know, best performers out there, one of the best rappers of all time. I'm excited to see what he's going to bring out for this year's halftime show in the Super Bowl. So great choice from the NFL. It was literally just announced on Twitter, not even a couple minutes ago. And I think that's a pretty hot headline to start our hottest headlines segment here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Frederick. So we'll dive right into it. You know what time it is. Time to dive into the hottest headlines of the week that I actually had prepared for this show, because that Kendrick one was not on my list. But I'll tell you what was one of the biggest upsets in potentially college football history. You know, this is up there with Appalachian State blocking the field goal at the buzzer. In a similar way, winning off a blocked field goal after Northern Illinois drove down the field after getting an interception off Notre Dame. It was Kaden Woodhill who hit a 35-yard field goal with 31 seconds left to play. And then it was Cade Haberman who blocked a 62-yard attempt as time expired, and Northern Illinois stuns number 5 Notre Dame with a final of 16-14 just yesterday. Absolutely insane upset. This is the first non-conference victory for NIU against a ranked opponent since 2003, when they won in a 19-16 upset against number 21 Alabama. That just goes to show how long it's been since this university has upset a ranked opponent. Alabama was ranked 21. When's the last time you've seen Alabama ranked outside of the top 10 in college football? At least 10, 15 years. Well, it was almost over, actually, 20 years ago that the last time NIU claimed a non-conference victory against a ranked opponent. And it was also the Huskies' first victory over a top 10 opponent and the first by a Mid-American Conference team against an AP top 5 team. The MAC was previously 0-51 against AP top 5 teams. So this is, as you read more and more into this story, it's very clearly showing that this is one of the biggest upsets in college football history. And I feel so bad for my girlfriend's father, who was at this game, big Notre Dame fan, won tickets, was sitting maybe five rows back, and had, of course, this is the game that they picked for him to go to. So, Tom, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I still think Notre Dame's got a good chance this season. It's only one loss with this expanded college playoff. You know, one loss doesn't define your season, but the Fighting Irish are going to have to figure some things out. After beating Texas A&M, everyone was saying, listen, this team might cakewalk the rest of the season. So they still got not too many difficult matchups on the year coming up, but yeah, not a good look so far, losing to Northern Illinois on the last minute field goal. As we'll move on here, there was plenty of other great matchups across college football yesterday, as Texas hands Michigan its first loss from Texas since 2022. Quinn Ewers tossed three touchdowns and absolutely just decimated this Michigan team. I mean, they know their season isn't over. Like I said, this expanded college football playoff, you have many more opportunities to make the playoff and make it to the national championship. One or two losses doesn't necessarily end your season, but this Michigan team has just not looked very good. They're struggling to figure out who their quarterback is. The defense, which is supposed to be their saving grace, just gave up 31 points to Texas. And this is just as much a showing of how good Texas is. They were a playoff team last year. Quinn Ewers back. He's the only FBS quarterback in the country since the start of last season to throw three touchdowns without an interception against multiple AP top 10 opponents. So there's something about this quarterback in Texas that Texas might have a real shot at winning the national championship this year. You look at the other teams that are expected to be in that playoffs. Georgia's looked really good. Texas has looked really good. Then you got teams like Oregon, who came into the season as national championship. They were expected to be there. They were expected to be contenders for the national championship. A couple tight wins for them. You know, they just barely beat Boise State, who's unranked, yesterday by only 3 points. So this Oregon team isn't looking very impressive so far. They're still 2-0, but they're not winning with the same manner that people expected from them. So this could be the year that Texas gets it done and makes it right back to the national championship. I would be extremely shocked to see that they somehow didn't make the playoff, especially with 12 teams. So they're going to be a playoff team no matter what, unless the unforeseen happens. But this Texas team, keep an eye on them, because after losing to Washington in the semifinal last year, I think that they're back for vengeance. So keep an eye on these Texas Longhorns. This could be their year. A little bit of NBA news came out over the last weekend or so, as Nuggets' Jamal Murray agreed to a 4-year, $208 million max extension. Murray, the NBA champion, got the deal done with the Denver Nuggets, keeps him out of free agency next summer. And being one of the franchise's cornerstones, you know that the Nuggets were going to do whatever they had to do to keep that duo of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic together, especially after seeing them win the NBA championship just not last season, but the season prior. So this Nuggets team, not going anywhere. Still one of those teams that come NBA season time, you're going to have to be on the lookout, because they always find a way to get it done once the playoffs start. Ran into a little snag this year facing the Timberwolves, but this team is going to be back, and they've just locked up their star point guard for the next 4 seasons. Speaking of basketball, we'll move over to the WNBA here, as one of the, you know, highest touted, most sought after rookies of the WNBA this season, one of the very few handful that has made a case in a rookie of the year race that everyone expected was going to be Caitlin Clark running away with it. Angel Reese of the Chicago Sky has announced on social media that her season is over after suffering a season ending wrist injury Friday against the Los Angeles Sparks. After what was a very impressive year for her, she posted on social media saying, I never would have expected that the last bucket of my rookie season would be a 3, but maybe that was God saying, give them a taste of what they will be seeing more of in year two. So Angel Reese might be trying to come for Caitlin Clark's spot as the best three-point shooting rookie in this year's WNBA. Might try to make a case that she could be one of those MVP candidates next season. But Angel Reese, done for the year. Chicago Sky not going to make the playoffs. Reese was the number 7 pick in this year's draft out of LSU, former national champion. And she had a very impressive season, had 26 double-doubles, second most in a WNBA season, and earlier set a WNBA record with 15 consecutive double-doubles. She would go on to average 13 points, 13 rebounds, and 1 steal a game. Her standout play earned her an All-Star selection alongside Caitlin Clark, as the two of them were competing this year for Rookie of the Year. Right now, it looks like it's going Caitlin Clark's way. All right, when we come back, we'll dive into my fantasy lineup, and you guys listening can, you know, let me know. Give me a shout on Twitter, wherever. Let me know if you think my team has any chance of winning this week in fantasy. Stay with us. More of the Hot Seat coming up next right here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat here, not to promote anything or sell anything to you, but simply to say thank you. To all the listeners out there, your support is very much appreciated. And here at the Hot Seat, we will do our best to continue providing you with the hottest takes, the hottest topics, and the hottest headlines around the world of sports on a weekly basis. Thank you again for listening. It's much appreciated. And we've got more of the Hot Seat coming up for you right after this.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio.
I'll tell you what's going down. Besides the ending of this week's airing of The Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks, welcome back, by the way. What's going down is I got a tight fantasy football matchup this week. I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm coming back this season with a vengeance. Lost in the championship last year to our guy Michael Johnson Jr. And I'm going to get my revenge because I need it not just for, there might be a slight buy-in, so that does play a factor, but I'm going for bragging rights here. I cannot stand another year of listening to MJ tell me that he beat me in fantasy football again. So I'm back this season with a vengeance. I'll run through my lineup here. Had Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry on the field Thursday night. They netted me around 38 points, which I'll take. Had Christian Watson with the Packers Friday night. He netted me 10. Luckily got that touchdown, because without that touchdown, it would have been a rough week for him. Harrison Butker, the Chiefs kicker, got me 9 points. So we're sitting at 58 right now. The guy I'm facing off against, he's got 33 from Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and Zay Flowers. And we'll run through the rest of the matchup here. I've got Raheem Mostert, CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Waddle, Jake Ferguson, Cleveland's defense yet to play. I know it's tough having CeeDee and Jake Ferguson while also having Cleveland's defense going up against Dallas. It's 1 week, you know, it's a tough situation where the more my offensive players score, the worse my defense does, but who knows, maybe it'll all work out. I mean, I would rather have CeeDee and Jake Ferguson get some scores because one, we all know I'm rooting for the Cowboys anyway, and two, they're going to net me more points than the defense. But on the other side of things, my opponent still has Josh Allen, Jahmyr Gibbs, Tony Pollard, Brandon Ayuk. He's got Dallas defense and Brandon Aubrey, the Dallas Cowboys kicker. So tight matchup here. Look, I'm projected to barely win right now, but it's neck and neck. Projections have me hitting 121, him scoring 117. So this is going to be a tight matchup, and I'll have to let you guys know how it ended up. Will I start my fantasy season 1-0? Tune in next week to the Hot Seat on Sunday morning from 11 until noon to find out. Be sure to tune into the rest of the shows throughout the week. As I mentioned, me and my guy Joey Polotsky will be filling in for Roger and MJ on Big Board Sports Thursday and Friday morning from 10 to 1. Not going to want to miss that, as we will have everything for you, and we'll be back here with the Hot Seat next Sunday. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Appreciate y'all. Have a good one and enjoy some football. Goodbye, everybody.